Welcome. Amen. It's so good to be here today, man. So good. I love Sunday morning. Man, I just love a Sunday morning. I wish every morning could be Sunday morning. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, we got to worship again today. Ah, yeah. You know what? When you walk with Jesus, every day is Sunday morning. Every day is Sunday morning. Man, His mercies are fresh every day. You just have no idea what God just might do in your life. Isn't it awesome to wake up and think that there's an adventure ahead of us and we don't even know what it's going to be like? That when we yield ourselves to God and just say, God, have your way in my life, every day could be a surprise. I love a surprise. Yeah. Oh, man. That's what makes Christmas so exciting. You see them presents there. You're just like, oh, man, what is in that box? I got to find out. Man, that's the way we should approach life. We should wake up every morning like it's Christmas and say, God, what have you got in the box for me today? And you open it up, and guess what's in there? Him. Hallelujah. Woo! Father, thank you. Bless your word, Lord. Feed us from your table in Jesus' name. Man, where did all your young people go? I guess they're all employed in various different ministries. Okay, cool. There's two. How many of you guys, when Matt was up here talking about witnessing, just had a little eensy weensy, teensy, bitsy bit of anxiety? Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Don't lie in church. Don't lie anywhere. Little bit of anxiety. You know what? That's okay. Absolutely, that's okay. What we want to do today is find out how to get some boldness. Man, you can't really buy it. You can't go down to Kmart or Walmart and say, grab some guy with a little badge and name tag or something and say, oh, excuse me, sir, what aisle is the boldness in? Wouldn't that be cool, though? I mean, if it was like, $4.95 or something, but it was like, $300, I could probably still buy it. How do you get this audacity? How do you get this boldness to tell people about our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Where do you get that from? How do you nurture that? Yeah, it's gotta come from inside. And you'll have to excuse me. I've been at a 5-day conference. I've been shouting my lungs out, and for Jesus. And I think I've got a half hour left, but if I only got 25 minutes, bear with me. I'll just like make weird hand signals and Leah Mark can interpret. Let me tell you what's not boldness. Rudeness is not boldness. Amen. You know, I think of this guy Fred Phelps from the West something or other Baptist Church that goes out to the funerals of soldiers who were killed in the war. It has hate-filled signs that just shock your system. I mean, they just wrench your guts because it's so cold that you could go to a family who has just lost their son or daughter and stand around saying with signs that says, God hates fags. What kind of twisted, satanic heart would do that to a family? The soldier could have been an on fire, blazing model of Christ. And to go out there and with these signs that just drip with venom, God hates fags. It breaks my heart. That is not boldness. They may believe that they imagine that they're advancing the gospel of Christ by doing this. I don't know how they can confuse that with the freedom that comes with true boldness in the Lord. If I had my way, I would take down that sign that says God hates fags, faggots, and I would have a sign that said God loves maggots. What you talking about, D'Souza? I would take down a sign that says God hates faggots. I would have a sign that says God loves maggots. Let me explain. I got time. I'll explain. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Oh. My heart has been irreversibly ruined this week because of the beautiful, compelling stories that I heard. Heard a woman, missionary. Her and her husband are missionaries to Mozambique. She's got a doctorate from, I forget what seminary. She could be living in the lap of luxury. But after many, many years in the mission field and feeling like she was a failure, kind of like John Wesley, she cried out for God. He met her one day and changed her heart and sent her to Mozambique. I hope I can even begin to do this justice. And she talked about how, you know, these people that we go to that we love so much and we have this beautiful, glorious message of Christ. I mean, what is more beautiful and glorious than the gospel, the good news that Christ died for sinners like me and like you? This beautiful, glorious gospel. And she says, you know, it's beautiful and it's glorious, you know, but not everybody you reach out to receives it that way. And sometimes you have to love them in the face of a lot of hostility and just love them anyway and just go anyway. And she said they go to the literally the poorest parts of this country, which is the richest parts are poor in our country. And they were down in the garbage dump one day reaching out to the people that lived there and that festering, rotting pile of trash and garbage and rot to take the gospel to them, to tell them about Jesus. And this man that was there when he saw her, she reaches out especially to orphans. She's adopted several of them. She's created orphanages for thousands of them. While she was there, this man saw her sharing Jesus, and Jesus is not the national faith of that country. He took a bottle out of the dump and he busted it so that, you know, it was like this razor sharp glass on the end, and he came up to her and he stuck it in her neck and he held it up to her neck and said that he hated what she was doing and he wanted her to leave right now because he would kill her otherwise. She was like, whoa, that's a little close. And she said, wait a minute. Just to buy herself a few seconds. And she began to talk to him about how much God loves him, about how much, you know, what kind of love would it be for God to send his son to die for this man's sins. And as she began to share more and more about the love and mercy and compassion of God, the sky began to melt until finally he put the bottle down. And after she shared the gospel with them, she said they knelt down there in the maggots, and he prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. And that scene just was so vivid to me, the way she described it. When she said, we knelt down in the maggots to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. It just wrecked me. It just absolutely wrecked me. She's seen so much opposition, and her and her husband have loved people through their hatred, through their violence, through their attacks. She talked about one time they were sharing the gospel out in this village, and these soldiers came. Not soldiers, I'm sorry. A violent mob basically came, and they were coming after her. They started beating up on the workers that they had with them. And one of her adopted orphan sons saw that they were going after her, and he got in between her and the mob, and he said, "Mama, get in the truck." He just started shouting to her, "Mama, get in the truck." You know, a mother's heart when she sees her son standing in front of a violent mob, and they began to take him and beat up on him and just punch him and kick him. And the whole time he's screaming, "Mama, get in the truck." And it was so heart-wrenching for her, because what do? You're a mom. You mothers know what I'm talking about. Do you go and try to rescue your little boy, or do you just run for your life? And so she got in the truck, and they went off to get help. And they came back, and it had dispersed by then, but the boy was there. Eventually, they caught the guys that did this. They were able to identify him and catch him. And so they did what they always do when this happens. They went down to the police station, the boy and the mom and the dad, and asked the police to release the people who had beat up her son. And the police, she says, they're so frustrated with her because they're always getting this treatment. They're always going down to the station, and they're like, "Oh no, here she comes. Don't tell me. You want to let him go? Yeah, just let him go. You know, And the police are like, you know, they let him go. And then they share the gospel with him. And so many people get saved. They've seen so many salvations, so many decisions for Christ. People give their life to Christ when they encounter that kind of mercy, because in those places they don't see that kind of mercy. That place is not saturated with the gospel, and the people live in darkness, and they live in under the bondage of their flesh. And when they encounter that kind of love and mercy, it just rips them open. And she and her husband have seen thousands upon thousands come to Christ. And one man that was talking to her was, you know, a little scared, a little concerned. He's like, you know, I think someone had spit on him at one time, and he was a little unsure of himself about going out again. And she said, "You know, let me tell you a secret. Spit doesn't hurt." She's been spat upon more times than she can count. And she says, "Listen, spit doesn't hurt." She said, "Rocks hurt." And they've been stoned numerous times. She said, "Rocks hurt." She said, "Fists hurt." She said, "Knives hurt. But spit doesn't hurt. It's just spit." And so they go. And they preach. And she told story after story after story of how her and her husband go out to these villages where the orphans are, their eyes are covered with flies, bellies are bloated because they're starving, and their skin is eaten up with all kinds of infections, so many of them don't have, you know, they don't have parents, they've known only abuse and crime and stealing and survival and violence, drugs, sexual trafficking. It's a living hell on earth. And yet, the light triumphs over the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not prevail over it. The love shines and prevails over the hatred.